Yes.
So,
Yes.
from your experience, since you've been working in the space for quite a while, what are some of the factors that contribute to victims returning to their abusers, like literally even after leaving?
Yes. That very often happens. It's a very complex situation. So, victims may return due to many factors, which could include emotional bonds, financial dependence, or fear of further violence. So the abusers manipulate and control, and they create a sense of helplessness in the victim. And in South Africa, the cycle of abuse is so deeply entrenched, and it's very often influenced by complex emotional, financial, and religious, cultural, and societal factors. Victims may return to their abusers due to a strong emotional attachment. The bonds can be strengthened by a shared history, shared trauma, feeling love, and then, oh, the one that everybody hopes for, this guy will
Will
change.
change.
He will change. I am not good enough. I am not cooking good enough. I'm not looking after the kids good enough. The house is not clean enough. I'm not walking the correct way. They get so broken down, and they have this feeling of, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. And then, of course, you get the cycle of abuse where the periods of violence is followed by love bombing. So it is abandonment and gestures of affection, and yes, flowers and chocolates, and it's actually love bombing. And this poor victim getting to a point where she is so confused because she's mixing fear and love. And they get so confused, they don't know what to do anymore. And the victims are brainwashed into believing that they're worthless without their abuser. Only the abuser can see. Then we also have economic hardships, and many abusers control the finances. Even in your higher class socioeconomic communities, a lot of the women, they might drive a very fancy car and have all the trimmings and the diamond ring and be allowed to go to the spa and have their Botox done, but they only have a credit card. They are not allowed access to even 10 rand. So they are financially controlled, and it makes it very difficult for these victims to leave because of financial independence. They feel they have no option but to just stay in a relationship or to return. So this can also be very true of communities where unemployment rates are very high and the economic opportunities are scarce. Victims very often are threatened by the abusers that their family members will be hurt or harmed. So you are scared that this abuser is going to harm your family, your mother, your sister, your children. You stay quiet about it. In South Africa, where violence, crime rates are so high, these threats are really, they are real, and they must be taken very seriously. The stats show, South African police stats show that in the period between July and September 2024, every day, daily, more than 10 women in South Africa were murdered by their intimate partners. So that is a very, very serious situation. The abusers also have a variety of manipulative tactics. And what they do is they isolate the victim from friends and family members. So the victim loses all the support systems, and
Sure.
they are constantly belittled and self-worth is undermined. So this creates an environment of fear, confusion, and uncertainty. And over time, these victims come to believe that they are just incapable of surviving on their own, and sadly, that they even deserve the abuse because I did not cook enough food or clean the house. It's so sad. And the abuser makes the victim believe that they are nothing on their own. And in South Africa, many communities, the societal norms and stigmas further entrap the victims. Religious and cultural beliefs about marriage and cultural roles, and gender roles, discourage women from leaving abusive relationships because of the stigma. The victims fear judgment or alienation from their community, making it so much harder to seek help. So understanding the complicated factors is crucial in developing effective support systems and interventions to help victims break free from the cycle of abuse and begin their journey of recovery.
So, as you're speaking, I'm literally having flashbacks of situations where I've actually had parents discouraging. You know, in African traditions, right, there's this thing when you're getting married, on the day of the wedding, there's this thing that the aunt of the family will say to the bride. They'll say stuff like, no matter what happens, now this is your new home. You're going to die there, literally.
And you might die there, literally, from
abuse. So I'm realizing that some of the things that make it difficult for the victim to leave the situation is because of even going home, if going home was an option, it doesn't, because your mother kept saying to you that if you get divorced, you're going to be embarrassing me in the community.
Yes. So guilt and shame, you know, the guilt and the shame and the feeling of being a failure makes the victims believe that they should just stick it out, be quiet for better or for worse, and that they deserve the abuse because they also fear the unknown and the potential retaliation of their family members. It stops them from leaving. And they get absolutely trapped to the situation where they either just stick it out, get abuse, and are killed eventually, or then eventually die after 30 years. It's very difficult for these women to break free from the cultural beliefs and the societal norms of what people think is right and think is